Our reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life will win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody.
God is love. Without God's being love, there is no possibility for love in ourselves. There is no possibility for any of us to relate in any way to each other or to God. But God is love. He himself expresses love. He himself is relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relating together perfectly in love. Because of him, we are able to love. But we know that we are broken. But in our brokenness, God in his love comes down. In his Son, Jesus Christ, God come in man in human form. In love. In an act of love, a life of love. So that we can be restored and love. In Jesus we see God and we see humanity as it is supposed to be. Relating to God and relating to each other around the world. Paul, as we see in this reading, verse 9, is keen for the Thessalonians to love. And good news, they are loving because they have been taught to love by God. Tracing back to that first radical encounter with Jesus Christ that they had through Paul and his companions preaching years before. Opening their lives, seeing God in Jesus Christ, having faith, putting their trust in him, opens the door for the Spirit to come in and for love to overflow from their lives. Taught by God to love. Discovering their own real humanity as they put themselves in Christ. And so Paul urges them to foster their relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to develop it, to come closer. And this is the up component that we talk of. If we go to the next slide, thank you. The up component that we talk about, being ever closer to Jesus. Developing our relationship with God, seeing our discipleship, our walk with Jesus as a lifelong process. And with that, we ask questions. Our most recent one, remember a few weeks ago when we started this series in Thessalonians, is how do you live with Jesus close by? Because should you allow yourself to become distant, then you become disconnected from God who is love. So that's the up component. But of course that love in us enables us to love each other. To be in community. And that is the in components. God's working in us. Us together. Somehow our lives together as a church, as a small group, in the different groups and works that we do as a church, somehow modeling community for the outside world, somehow showing that relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the way we live together, in the way we do church together. The in component, a question that we set for that just a few weeks ago in October was, do you love the body? Do you love each other here in this fellowship, for starters? They're in components. But of course, love cannot be contained. Love cannot keep itself in one's own. It must reach out. It must ripple out. And so we have the out component of God wanting to reach, to restore, to bring back into that embrace of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, back into his love, reaching out. And so we have up, we have the in, and the out components. The three are connected together. But the question I'm setting this week, which I'll expand a bit more later, is a little bit different. It's, do you make time for relationships? Do you make time for relationships? We'll come back to that a bit later, but let's refresh. Relationship with God's up. Relationship with each other. That's the in, being a modeling community. And relationship with people out there who are far from God and we would love, and God would love to bring in towards himself. And so reaching out, desiring to see kingdom life breaking out all across the city. We need all three of those axes. We need all three of those pointers. Lose one and the rest are deficient. So the challenge is to pay attention to all three, which is why we cycle round, pay a bit of attention to up, then to in, and then to out, and then we cycle back round again. Because we need all three working together. But it all begins with our own encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Which is why we come back again and again to our communion table. Because we love, because he first loved us. So I invite Karen and the deacons to lead us in communion. We're going to continue thinking about the Thessalonian passage, but first we're going to watch a video.
We're a family of missionary servants. So we're a family who we're called to be missionaries. Like, we're here on the earth sojourning until we're in heaven, and we really have one call. It's to bring God glory in all that we do. We need to be intentional about calling the body to be the body. We were not created to live this life alone. Like, we were created for other people in our lives. We really need to be empowering each person to live out their identity as part of this body of Christ. We're not this group that just stays together like a clique and just hangs out and loves being together, because we're living with a focus to reach and minister to other people. Our discipleship happens in the missional communities. Our encouragement happens in the missional community. Our confrontation for sin, our care for each other. If you have needs, they get met by your missional communities. If we're to be a people who make disciples, we have to do more than just go to church once a week. We have to really live out what it means to be the church. And we found that getting into these groups, these missional communities, help us to do that better?
The name itself helps define it. I mean, it's a community of people who are living on mission, which you could ideally define the church at large as a missional community. But when we think of missional communities as sort of a core structure of what our church is, we're looking at a community of people who have a common mission.
It's refreshing. It's a way to be accepted without any perimeters.
A missional community is kind of like the building block of a church. It's a group of people who are family. We treat each other like family. We help each other out when any of us has a need.
The missional community has been really beneficial to my kids as far as, you know, helping them to grasp the concept that we are the church, that we don't go to church.
You've never seen a group living on mission together. It looks weird. But if you read through the book of Acts, it's what it was. Like, you see that happening. You see Paul going into an area. He appoints leaders. He appoints people to lead the church. And then they live on mission together and reach that area.
And we're also missionaries. We've been called to be part of a city. And we've been called to reach that city for Jesus.
The idea of a missional community is strange, but it's strange because it's just culturally not happening. Yet, even though it's culturally not happening, what we find is people are longing for identity. They're longing to be part of something.
And I feel like this is where I was supposed to be, and this is my family, and this is how family should be.
The missional community itself is a more outward focus. So we're looking at not just how can we be fed or how can we consume, but how can we give, how can we bless, how can we feed, in essence, those around us.
And what we as the church are saying is like that identity is in Jesus. And so if we're in Jesus, it means we're part of this family. And it means we're part of living out the mission as sons and daughters together.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul talks against idleness. He talks of quietly getting on with our own business, working with our hands. Well, my commentary that I read on this passage puts it succinctly. The commentator says, in a Christian community, Paul expects there to be no freeloaders. That's the words of the author of a commentary, not my own words. No freeloaders. Pull your weight. Do your bit. And that might be practical. The Greeks and the Romans despised practical tasks and thought that they should be above that kind of stuff. But in the Jewish understanding, there is a dignity in the everyday practical task. So whether it's serving tea and coffee or setting the chairs or something practical like that, it has dignity about it. Pull your weight and do your bit. It's amplified in the second letter to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Take it away, read it for homework. Basically, he's saying you can't have people not earning their keep who ought to be able to earn their keep. I'm sure he understands there are people who their circumstances, their abilities simply are not able. But he says for those who can, they should be earning their keep. They should not be idle. So strongly in that passage, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, 10 and 11, he says, avoid people who are idle and disruptive. Well, I'm sure we've all been in a team scenario where as a group, you're getting on with a task and you're kind of stuck in getting on with it. But whilst most of you are actually getting on trying to sort out this problem or do this thing, you work out that there's one or two who are sitting a bit more on the sidelines and not applying their elbow grease. And you also work out that those are the vocal ones speaking into what you're doing. And whilst you're mucking in and trying to fix this or solve this problem, there are one or two who are not helping and are saying stuff. I'm sure you've all had that kind of scenario. And you gradually think between those who are actually using your hands, you think, what they're saying is just not helpful. And you get to that point where you want to say to them, look, get stuck in or shut up. I'm sure you've all had that experience sometime in life in some kind of team or scenario. Well, as a church, it is very rare that we would want to say to someone, just shut up. We would rather say to them, look, constructively dialogue with us. Talk with us about what we're trying to do. Come and join in. Come and talk to us. As a church, we'd say, come and talk to me or to Helen as an elder or any of the deacons on the leadership team. Of course, there might be stuff that you're struggling with. There might be stuff that you don't like or you think, is that right or can I get on with that? That's going to happen. So come and talk to any of us on the leadership about that and journey with us, discerning how Christ would lead us forwards. But let's return to this against idleness that Paul talks of and then amplifies in the second letter. You see, is idleness in general our problem? It might have been for some people in the Thessalonian church, but for us today, generally, our problem is that we are all just so busy. We all just have so much cramming into our lives. For many of us, our work constantly makes a takeover bid or becomes addictive in some cases. Or with our children and the wonderful activities that we take them to, we find that those activities run us as parents ragged. Karen and I, we got to the point where we rationed Anna and her activities. You want to take up the oboe? That's lovely, darling. Well, give up the ice skating. And we rationed her and said, you can do this or this, but not both. Are we letting life cram in so much, whether it's work, play, or children, or other stuff, so much that even the activities, the wonderful stuff we do with our children creates this tension? Does it actually resonate with living in Christian community, or does it start to go against it? We have to wrestle with these questions. I don't know what the right or wrong answer is. It depends on each person and family. But we have all this stuff coming at us, which is why the out question this week, if we go to the next slide, is do you make time for relationships? Or are you simply just so busy that you're skating on the surface all the time? Do you actually make time with a few people to have a depth of relationship? And the challenge, therefore, is to pray for two or three people who have little or no faith. Start with praying for them. And let out of that prayer come the urge, the desire, the resolution to reprioritize, to make time for relationships. The good news is that in this church, many people do make time for relationships in serving with 2x2 or making Power Pack and J Team happen with the young children or on a Friday night with the youth to get alongside people and make that space relationship. That is a good thing. That is a wonderful thing. But those are examples where, certainly in some of them, you might have broad, many relationships, but make time for depth as well. Make time for depth, maybe with just a few people. Discern, pray, know the difference of the people that you like to make more space for. For myself, I try to make time to turn up at 2x2 as many weeks as I can. That's our parent and toddler. I try and make time to drop in to the cafe on a Monday morning, have wonderful conversations with people there, and sign up to do some food bank stints where I can sit and listen to people and make time for them. Requires us all to be intentional. It requires us all to work out a filter. To filter out the stuff that comes at us that sounds good, but in the grand scheme of things is not so important. And concentrate on the stuff that is important. I think in life we've all learnt to filter. But I wonder how intentional our filters are. Do we end up filtering out everything and so the good goes with the bad? Or do we just let everything in? Back to the passage, verse 10 of the 1 Thessalonians passage. Paul urges for more love. But how might we do that? How might we express that? Well, the love of God, as we know, propels us out. It takes us out to all kinds of places around the city and different activities here. And we've talked many times, haven't we, about seeing opportunity in your workplace, in your school, at the school gate, or your gym, or wherever you work, rest, or play. But the trouble with that, though that is good, and we would still say that, the difficulty is that whilst we are all called to be witnesses, only a fewer a percentage are gifted evangelists. And so in trying to reach out in these places, as we should, you find yourself on your own. Can we reach out more effectively if we do that in a community of people, as a group of people, rather than just being on your own with whatever gifts you have or don't have? As a community, we can benefit from the many gifts of those people in that community. That's our next slide, please, Jonathan. Reaching out together, perhaps deliberately choosing one target people or area or geography and say, as a group, we will use the gifts between us. Some are evangelists, some are more out with their people, some are more serving practical ways, but together we can reach out in this direction. And by being a community, we bring with us our spirituality, the up. We bring with us this modeling of God-given community, the in. And of course we are reaching out. And so we have the out, the up, in and out components in our outreach together. Well, if going out is important, we need to remember, don't we, that not everyone will come to us. And that's why we talk about praying into places where we might go from this building to reach out. And that is about being visible. This is the next slide. That is about being visible in the world. Acknowledging that not everyone will come through these doors to see what we are doing. And so there's a place where we need to go out and be visible to people who are out there. Doing that as a community, doing that with the plural gifts that we have. And it's about being intentional with our time. It's about prioritizing and saying, for this portion of a week or a month or whatever, however you do it, this is what we are going to do because we feel called to take the good news out. And so this is about activity, which is the next slide. Intentional activity to reach out. Doing it in community, doing it out there where it's visible, but doing something rather than just being a group for ourselves, as we saw in the video. And that's going to conflict with our own busyness. That's going to clash with our busy lives, which is why we need to be a bit more savvy, a bit more thinking about it, a bit more praying and prioritizing and saying, okay, Spirit, how am I going to do this? What am I going to need to drop or cut or just reprioritize in some way to do that? And that's a discernment process, and that takes time. But that brings community, visibility, and activity together. When a group of people does that, when a group of people gets that and learns to do it with the up and the in and the out components all working together, informing their spirituality and how they work, that is a missional community. That is a group of people who have intentionally come together to journey together in their discipleship, to model community and reach out at least to some part of a population or to some area. Being in community, being in a mission community, that's missional community, that's what we saw on the video. This is about being intentional. This is about praying and deliberately making space in life, in our rhythm and our diets, to express love that is found in God, fostering that relationship with Jesus, with each other in the community, and with those that community is trying to reach out to. Let's pray.